third grade. Centennial Children's Chorus, which is a local choir.
Yeah, woo, CCC.
Anyway, so I sang with that choir for six years, starting in third grade when I was yay high. And all the way through, I've come back and I'm now helping with that organization. So I've been with them for 17 years, or 13.
Holy smokes,
not 17, 13 years. But I've been singing in choir ever since then. And starting more when I was in junior high school, they started putting me in like alto and all that kind of stuff. And so then when I got into high school, it was like, I'm an alto. That's what I do. I auditioned and got into Allstate Choir 2 years in a row, and I was an alto. Alto one all the way. So, and I'm like, those stupid sopranos, they can't sight read, they can't blah blah blah, because they only sing the melody. And so I'm one of those singers. Then I get to college my freshman year, and this bomb gets planted on me that says, you're a soprano. And I said, excuse me? Anyway, it was this real, I mean, it was kind of an identity crisis of, like, you know, just having this mindset of being alto for so, I'm an alto, 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 and then I have to sing soprano, and so all these conceptions that I had of sopranos. Now I'm one of them! And I'm okay now. I've come to grips with it. But the point is, if you have children or anything, or if you haven't gotten your, alto doesn't just mean singing low. In the opera world, mezzo sopranos have to sing up just about as high as sopranos do. It's more about where they're comfortable, and where kind of the meaty part of their voice is basically what defines it. If you have kids, don't like be like, well, I'm a soprano, so that means you're going to be a soprano. They don't know. They don't know. So anyway, that's. I know that ladies that are kind of like, holy smokes, I'm not used to singing up that high. I had huge problems with that because it's not a necessarily comfortable thing. And singing up high is really scary because you have to be so relaxed and so free and kind of just let go and be like, okay, this is where the note is, and let it go and hope that it happens. And that's a scary thing, to relinquish control. And so oftentimes when you have that tension that we talked about with breathing, that sort of thing, when you go up for those high notes, that happens too. So just making sure that it's like, oh, you have to have that yawn space in your mouth and keep it nice and relaxed is my point. And yes, absolutely. Oh yes, we have to support. Oh, the other thing that I wanted to talk with you guys really quickly about. Now, on the other side of things, in terms of vocal development, some of you have definitely had your voices, they've matured and they are what they are going to be. As women get older, it tends to become harder for them to control vibrato, okay? And the thing that I will tell you about that, not having experienced it myself, but having studied vocal ped and that sort of thing, is that it's all in your air, okay? The reason that people get the oh, 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 oh sort of a thing is an air thing. And if your diaphragm, if your breath is not engaged and you're not controlling it down here, it tends to get more up into oh, 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 and that sort of a thing. That's what happens and why we get the, you know, like octave vibrato thing going. Not that any of you did or anything, but just as I'm throwing out there for people to keep in mind, because it just kind of happens when you start moving, continuing to develop your voice. What's the last one that I had? Is it the 15? Is that it? Is it measured? Is it 60?
No.
58. 58? Oh, is that the one that I missed? Yes. We don't necessarily need to go over it because it's kind of more of the same, but that's another one of the examples of synthesis. I have a little list. So anyway, if you want some more ideas or some other warm-ups or something like that, you're more than welcome to, like, talk to me afterwards or something like that. Let's go ahead. Where did I put my thing? I swear my head would fall off if I didn't have it screwed on. Now, we've gotten warmed up, we've gotten aligned with our bodies, talked about breathing, whoo, we're ready to sing. It's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So, a couple of things to keep in mind. Singing is both technical, which all of this stuff up to this point that we've talked about is the technical part of music, which is really interesting because when you're a young child, oftentimes you just sing and you do your thing, and their voices are so in line with where they need to be. And as we get older, it's like we try to mess things up and do things and control it more and everything, and that's when we have problems. So it's almost like this process of relearning how to just let it happen. But all these things up to this point have been the technical things. But singing is obviously also emotional. I mean, part of the reason that music is all over the world is the fact that, I mean, it truly is a universal language. I know it sounds very cheesy, but every single culture has some sort of music. And regardless, I mean, I've traveled to Japan and South Korea and Italy and some with choirs in all of those places. And it didn't matter if they were singing in Japanese and we were singing in English. There's something about music that is able to transcend that, and you're able to connect to it regardless of if you understand the language or not. So it's obviously very, very emotional. And each person's singing voice is so uniquely yours. And part of the reason that I get so frustrated when my voice is not up to speed is because, it is such a huge part of who you are as a person. Your voice is just such a unique, special thing for each individual. So that also relates to the emotional personness of it. Yep, exactly. So the technical aspect, like I said, should be practiced, okay, so that it just becomes muscle memory, so that you don't even have to think about it. And then the emotional aspect is encompassed by kind of the following ways I tried to put it into. First of all, dynamics, which can be written down by the composer or can be interpreted by you, loud, soft crescendos, decrescendos. Phrasing, which also relates to that, we worked a little bit in some of that. It is so, so important, and you'll find too with your breathing that if you have, if you make your voice travel in a direction, whether that be pushing forward or pulling back with the tempo or that sort of a thing, I mean, the breathing takes care of itself. So then there's also articulations, staccatos, accent marks, marcatos, tenutos, wah, 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 wah. The other part of that is the lyrics and the diction. Obviously, a thing that we have over instrumentalists is the fact that we have lyrics to communicate with people. But an important part of that is your diction, how clearly you enunciate those words so that people are able to understand them. And then fifth is the communication, that being with your eyes, and then just with the way that you're singing it and what you're putting into the piece personally in terms of your own musicianship and your own voice. I have no idea what it is. I had something along those lines. I know what it was. I'm a firm believer, and I tell my voice students this all the time, that honestly, and with practicing the technical pieces, I truly believe that regardless of if you're singing classical or if you're singing musical theater or if you're singing jazz, if you find what that piece is trying to communicate and you put the emotion into it, all the technical stuff will take care of itself. Like 9 times out of 10, it always does, with maybe a little tweaking here and there. So proves to me that it's so much more about the emotional connectedness to the piece than it is about any stand up straight and breathe in and blah blah blah. It's not what's important. With